All right, good morning. Good to be saved, ain't it? All right, let's take a look in the book of Daniel. Somebody must have took Daniel out of my Bible. It ain't in here. There we are, Daniel. All right, let's get about Daniel chapter 7 and Daniel chapter 8. We'll look around in there a little bit. And I've been going over this at our church in Sunday school. And Brother Allen said teach Sunday school, and so I ran over there to get my notes and found out I didn't have none. So we're just going to have to open your mouth wide and the Lord will fill it. So I might be talking about taxes and tithing and all kinds of stuff. It's all in the book of Daniel, right? Amen. But at any rate, thank God for having a religion that's not all contained down on a sheet of notes. Amen. And I recommend you're going to believe whatever you get up and teach. Amen. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll look here in the book of Daniel a little bit and talk about some things. And you might want to skim over there and find Matthew chapter 24. We'll be there in just a minute. But let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Lord, thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for traveling mercies coming up. And thank you, dear God, for all you've done. We know you've got everything under control here. And Lord, we pray, God, that you would just speak to hearts this week. Open our hearts, open our minds. Help us to be submissive to your word, the preaching of your word. And Lord, I ask you, God, to help these preachers that are going to come this week and preach. I pray, dear God, that you would help them, strengthen them, dear God, use them. And then, Lord, I pray you'd help us, everyone, like I said before, to be open, submissive to your word. Teach us, God, how to live a Christian life. And we'll thank you for everything you do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, I said Daniel chapter 7, and let's look right there. Let's read a little bit in chapter 7 first. Verse number 1, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. Now, I'm going to explain a lot that I hadn't had the opportunity to explain to you last week and the week before that. So just for the sake of your knowledge, those great beasts are great kingdoms. And at the same time, they're also great kings. And now when you run your Bible all the way through from now on when you're studying and you find something about a beast or you find something about a horn, or you find something to that effect, you're talking about a king. I'm talking about a beast. If the beast has horns, well, then those things represent kings and kingdoms. And so you want to get used to that right away and remember that as you go through. When you're reading, when you read up through the book of Psalms, and it says, and it has a prayer about a horn, like he says several times in the Bible, he's talking about lift up your horn, or it talks about magnifying a horn or something like that, then you're talking about a king. And so just keep that in mind. So he says, four great beasts come up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. And after this I beheld, lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue of the feet of it with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. And of course, those are 10 kings, just like I said. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. You can start saying amen, hollering, running around the building and shouting. That's the Lord there that shows up here. See, the Bible's always going to talk about what's going to be. As far as this world's concerned, they're going to rebel. They're going to do bad things. They're going to sin. They're going to set up their own kingdom when the Lord wants to set up His kingdom. And at the end, when it's all said and done, the Lord's going to set up His kingdom. There ain't nothing you can do about that. And of course, that is kind of exciting, but when you've been up all night, it's just kind of hard to find your amens. And you shout, you'll find it by tonight after you get your afternoon nap, and I will too. Drove all night, and all of my mind and all of my words are kind of stuck together right now. But it's exciting to me, and I'm glad for the fact that the devil ain't going to win. Amen. Amen. He's not going to win. And you can, a lot of times people magnify this world and the strength of this world. And you get a guy get up in a square with some ropes around it and fake like they're picking up one another and throwing, and you'll have kids running around imitating them. And I remember this little fella used to ride the bus here. He'd get up on the back row and stick his straight fingers up and just give people the birds because he was copying some idiot on television. You remember that? Y'all remember that little fella? But see, people imitate that, but you get a fella dressed like he's got sense and preach the word and witness to people. People make fun of him. Amen? But I tell you what, at the end of days, they ain't going to be worshiping the gods of this world. They'll be worshiping the God of this world. The Ancient of Days. He's been around a lot longer than you have. Amen? And he'll be around when you're gone. It never ceases to amaze me, Brother Squeak, and I'm going to include myself in this because I was a young man once. Young people know everything, don't they? They sure do. They know everything. And you just ask them, they'll tell you. Amen? There's a young preacher out there out west, and he's correcting all these preachers that's been around for years and years and years and years, and you better be careful. I was talking to a young preacher one time, and he was putting down another old preacher, and I said, you just don't talk like that around me. He said, well, I know something bad about him. I said, I know something bad about you. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And you wouldn't have to look too far to find something bad about me. I know that, and I think we're all in that boat, ain't we? But the thing that amazes me is whippersnapper's been saved a year and called to preach 3 days, and they know everything. You don't know nothing. Shut up. Amen. That's right. That's right. The Bible calls the Lord here the Ancient of Days. And there's a lot of people right now that thinks they know better than He does. The Lord said, I created it in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. And the scientist with all of his degrees will scratch his head and say, well, I think we've been here millions and millions and millions of years. And that's just wrong. That's just false. Amen. And you can argue about it. If you're sitting here this morning, you're an atheist, and by some chance you got in here and listening to this morning, you can sit there and argue. You can go home and argue. You can go home and complain, and you can fuss and tell your children not to listen to the crazy man with the shirt and tie. People with short shorts and no shirt is sane this day and time, but the guy well-dressed, he's the lunatic. He's the idiot. You read your Bible, it's just the opposite of that. But you can complain all you want to about that, but one of these days, the Ancient of Days is going to see it. And He's going to judge, and you're going to shut your mouth, and you're going to get down on your knees. Amen? Just like these young fellas, you can complain. Listen, if you're a young preacher and you've got some new ideas, just sit and wait your turn. Amen? You might want to study on what's come before you for the last 2,000 years before you've been right with the Lord 3 weeks, and you're going to decide everybody's had it wrong for the last 2,000 years. You might want to think about it a couple days. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen? That's right. If not, you'll end up getting messed up. The church is represented as a 2,000-year-old man. Christ is the head. You're the members in particular. You're the elbow and the feet and the bunion. By now, the church is an old man. And if you think it's been wrong about what it's done all these years, then you're sadly mistaken. Amen. You're sadly mistaken. And you know, I don't have any problem. I used to have problems. See, I was brought up in a real strict church. If you preach, you got a white shirt on. And that's nowhere found in the Bible. But what I'm talking about is we've been brought up with standards, and we've been brought up, and so I latched on to some of those standards and started preaching about some of those standards. But you know what I did eventually? I grew up and found out that the only thing that matters is that book in your lap.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You've been, the thing that makes me mad today, Brother Mark, is that not people that's got new ideas, it's people that hate the old ideas.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. And I just figured out a long time ago what side I'm on. Amen. Preacher Lackey said, show up for Sunday school. If I miss Sunday school, now I feel bad.
Amen.
Amen. Now people are looking for an opportunity to get out of Sunday school.
Right.
Amen. See, there's some ancient things been around a lot longer than you. There might be some wisdom behind these convictions.
Amen.
Yep. Amen. That you can't find in your Bible. There might be some. And listen, if you study and pray about it several years, hey, you got several years to make up your mind about some things.
Amen.
Yep. Amen. And I've had to apologize about some things that I said that I found out wasn't exactly true. You couldn't necessarily throw a blanket statement over it and make everybody bow down to it. I've had to, but I'll tell you what, I don't hate those old things. You got preachers running around today and they're mocking and making fun. And to your face, I say, boy, I used to, I love Preacher Lackey. But they wouldn't let him preach in their pulpit if he was still alive. Or Jack Wood. Or Lester Roloff. You'd be surprised at people. I got a fellow that come pastors a church right near me, and the first thing we talked about was preaching and Bible standards. He said, I love Lester Roloff, but I've been watching him now for about 5 years. He ain't nothing near Lester Roloff, and if Lester Roloff showed up, he wouldn't be preaching at that church, I tell you that. Amen. Well, you say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about something that's been around a lot longer than we have, and that's going to be the judge of us one of these days. You know, you get these people and they got, you know, I hear a new song. Somebody will say, hey, turn over there on this YouTube channel and look at this song service that's going on. Look what a wonderful thing. And I'll turn over there and look and I'll say, well, that they're singing this song and everybody's shouting it. And something just don't feel right to me. And so I say, well, I'll get some of the words and I'll back it up two or three times and write down the words. And then I'll punch in those words and it'll come up Big Daddy Weave. Big Daddy Weave? You got Elijah, Elisha, Paul the Apostle, and Big Daddy Weave. Well, see, they're not following Lester Roloff. They're following Ice Cube. Listen, if you want to write a song, contemporary just means we're here. I mean, if somebody writes a song today, it's contemporary because we're here. It's not historical. I don't have no problem with contemporary music, somebody that writes a song today and God gets glory out. What I got a problem is people that can't stand Just As I Am without one plea, and they can't stand Amazing Grace, and they can't stand There Is a Fountain Filled with Blood. We got to have something with a groove to it. You need to turn over to the book of Corinthians where it says, I can't talk to you like you're spiritual because you carnal.
Amen.
And that's exactly what you are. And listen, the word carnal don't even mean sinful. The word carnal just means fleshly. Paying your bills is carnal. Going to work is carnal. It's fleshly. It's something that you have to do in your flesh. And that flesh just needs that groove you grew up on, Michael Jackson and all that stuff. And now you got to put it in your church. But it don't resemble nothing like the ancient ways. And it certainly don't resemble the Ancient of Days. It don't resemble God at all. These homosexuals got shot up in that bar down there and they said, well, if Jesus was there, Jesus wouldn't have been there. Amen. And if he would have been there, the music would have been shut off. And the racket would be down, and they'd be sitting at his feet listening to him preach. Amen? And then if a Muslim come in to shoot, God would have given him a heart attack. Amen? Well, anyway, let's move on with this. I beheld till the thrones were cast down. One day the Lord's going to cast these thrones down. And the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels a burning fire. You can find those wheels in Revelation chapter 4. You can find those wheels in Ezekiel chapter 1. That's a great scene right there. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. A fiery stream. You know what a stream is? A stream is one of them things you catch trout out of. That's what it is. Now, if you read your Bible, and we don't have 7 weeks to go through this, so let me just give it to you. If you read your Bible, you'll find out when God comes and sets up his throne on this earth, a stream of fire is going to come out from underneath his throne. And it's going to run out to if you know anything about the tabernacle and the temple, there's the Holy of Holies, then there's the holy place out in front of that, and then out in front of that, there's a laver where you wash your feet and you get ready to go inside. And before that, there is an altar where the sacrifice is made. When the Lord sets his kingdom up and sits on his throne, that flame is going to run out from underneath that throne, and it's going to go out to where the altar is, and that thing's going to turn around the right side, and off the right side of that altar is going to come forth water, and it's going to run out the east side of not only the temple, but also the city. And the Bible said, if you read in the book of Ezekiel, you read some stuff like that, you'll find out the further that river goes, the deeper it gets. And there's no clearer picture of the water of life than that. There's going to be trees on each side of it. You find that in the book of Jeremiah. You find it in the book of Revelation. And that water, he said, I went a little ways and put my foot in there and it come up to my ankles. And he said, I went a little further and stepped in. It come up to my waist, went a little further, and it was so deep you couldn't get across it. Can't cross over. And that thing's going to run out to the Jordan River and dump into the Jordan River, and it's going to go down the Dead Sea. And a sea that don't have one piece of life in it right now, the Bible says they're going to be catching fish from it day and night from En Gedi all the way around that thing. And it's going to be healed because that's the river of life. It comes from God. It don't come from a pill. Amen? It don't come from a self-esteem workshop. Amen? You'd be surprised, the Baptist folk that don't have no peace in their life, and they're searching the internet daily, and they're doing their best to find some psychologist to give them peace, and you're not going to find it that way. You need to find a love for your Bible, folks. You need to fall in love with God and fall in love with him and get in that book and find it. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. That's just a great passage right there. You feeling blue today? Here's a solution for you. Let not your heart be troubled.
Yeah.
Is it that simple? Well, you let it get messed up.
Right.
You, I'm going through a hard time. You let it happen.
Yep.
So it was the devil that did it. You was planning with the devil.
Right. Yep.
Amen? The preachers used to preach the world, the flesh, and the devil are your enemies. And they still are.
Yeah.
They still are. And if you get in collusion with the world, the flesh, or the devil, or all three of them, and you, your life's going to be a wreck. You're not going to have peace.
Amen.
There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. You say, well, we're Christians. You're still wicked. And so am I. And I've fully accepted the fact, that we're in a falling away. We're in it. Amen? We're in it so much now Christians are dumping their doctrines. Left and right. Amen? And that's what these things deal with, these old doctrines of the end times, and they're still true. You know what people are doing now? I mean, clearly, for 2,000 years, the church saw Rome as a type of the Antichrist. They saw the Pope as a type of the Antichrist. But now, that's not true anymore. It's the Muslims. The Muslims, not the Antichrist. You say, why have people lost their vision about how the end times are going to end up? Because they've lost their love for the Bible. They've seen that the Lord hadn't come back yet. And just like Simon Peter said, he said in the last days there's going to be mockers saying, where's the promise of his coming? Hey, everything's going on the way it always has, and he ain't come yet. So what in the world are we going to? Now you got Baptist preachers scratching their head and saying, hey, we got to refigure this thing. No, sir. The same old things are true. And they always are going to be true. The thrones are going to be cast down one of these days, and the Lord's going to set up. And he said a fiery stream going to issue and come forth. Now that fiery stream, it don't end by that altar. It ends out there in the valley of Gehenna. You turn to the last chapter of Isaiah, and you'll find out in the millennial kingdom, when people come to the
to the temple on the Sabbaths and the new moons, and they begin to leave, they're going to have to leave that worship service, and they're going to have to go down by that open pit, and they're going to look over and see people burning in that flame that's coming out from under that sea. That's a book of Isaiah. And you get to the New Testament, and it says, don't worry about the Sabbaths now. That's a paraphrase, of course. Don't let nobody get you all bound up in these new moons and Sabbaths, because that's a shadow of things to come. You go back and find in the book of Ezekiel, you'll find out the Sabbaths and the new moons. You're going to have to go to the temple, and people are going to have to make a pilgrimage there. And when they leave that place, they're going to have to go look at people burning in a pit, and that's to keep you from falling in with the devil at the end of the thousand-year period. Now, if you go every day, every time you leave the temple, you had to go down and look over a banister down into people burning in hell, and then the devil showed up and said, do you want to follow me? It kind of give you pause. But it's kind of like folks that come sit in a church house, and the preacher preaches to them and tells them that sin's going to tear up their life, and they get up, and they've seen clearly a picture from God's Word, but they go home and do it anyway. That's why the preacher can show you plainly what the Bible says about a thing, and then you go home and say, well, he don't know what he's talking about. He never even been to Bible school. So you got to be careful about that thing. Because people are going to leave that temple, they're going to go look over into the pits of hell, and they're going to follow the devil anyway when he shows up. Amen. Fiery stream issued and came forth. And he says, thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. Now that judgment that's set, you find that now Matthew 24 and Matthew 25. And I think I'll look at Matthew 25 first. You know, preacher, I don't have a watch or I can't see a clock or nothing. I can't see that. 20 till? Oh, yeah, it's only quarter after. And it's quarter after four, so I don't know what we're doing here. Well, look here in Matthew chapter 25, and you'll see this same judgment. He said the books were open, the judgments were set, and the books were open. So Matthew 25, let's just look, and let me find a couple of verses here. Well, first, number 5, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. See, the bridegroom don't come at midnight. And that's what you've been thinking. Every preacher in the world was looking for the Lord to come back in the year 2000. So Y2K showed up, everybody panicked. And you know what happened when everybody panicked? Nothing. Now listen, when Adolf Hitler shows up and they say he's the Antichrist and he comes to nothing, and preachers say, hey, that's the Antichrist. Look, he's persecuting the Jew. And then nothing comes of it. Well. So here's the where things here's the thing that's very important when you're preaching. Don't say something when you don't know what you're talking about. Amen? Amen. And I've been guilty of that so many times. Opening my mouth and just copying. And I'm not saying disrespect. I'm not talking about disrespecting older preachers or disrespecting people that come before us. Because quite frankly, the church is not going to know nothing until God reveals it. But see, Hitler's the Antichrist. Well, no, he wasn't. Mussolini's the Antichrist. Oh, no, he's not. But his name's got Saddam Hussein. Hey, man, 13 letters. It's got to be him. He hates Jews. And then it's not him. Y2K, man, it's the Lord's coming. And you see, after you keep telling people it's going to happen here, it's going to happen there, and it don't happen, people begin to say, hmm. Yeah. Right. Yep. But he don't come at midnight. You see that? At midnight, they start saying, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. And what do? Some of them not ready, and they never do get ready. Amen? Well, got to be careful about those things. The sun comes up at 6 o'clock. Did you know that? And you know the Bible likens the second advent to this. He said the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. He makes it so clear that the coming of the Lord is going to be like the sun coming up. He says, weeping may endure for a moment. He said, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. You read your Bible. You read your Bible in Genesis chapter 1. The evening and the morning is the first day. Evening and the morning is the second day. Evening and the morning is the third day. You see how that stuff. Oh, I'm going to swing right back here to Isaiah. Excuse me, not Isaiah. I'm going to turn back to Daniel. You don't have to turn there. I just want to point out something to you. Oh, Daniel chapter 8. And he's talking about the end time stuff. Verse number 24, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper, and shall practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. And he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. Lord, don't even need to raise a fist to him. He said, and the vision of the evening and the morning. Have you ever noticed that before? The vision of the evening and the morning, it's a daybreak. The prince of princes is going to break that man of sin. And when he does, he just as soon as he says that prince breaks that man of sin, the prince of kings, the prince of princes, the Lord of lords, when he breaks that man of sin, it's the evening and the morning. The Lord says, the prophecy of the evening and the morning. It's just like Genesis chapter 1. The first hour of the day in that Jewish calendar is not 12 o'clock midnight. It's 6 o'clock in the morning when the sun comes up. Now, Simon Peter was careful to tell you 1,000 years is one day. One day is as 1,000 years. It's set up all through your Bible just like that. And the morning comes at 6 o'clock. The Advent comes at 6 o'clock in the morning. One day has how many hours in it? 24 hours a day, right? And we're talking about solar days and stuff like that, but there's 24 hours in a day. That's 24 time periods. You divide 1 hour, right? You divide 1,000 years up to like that. That would mean the Advent's going to be 2,250. That's 6 o'clock in the morning. I don't care how you do the math. The Advent comes up in by that evening and the morning. 1,000 years is one day. 6 o'clock is 2,250. You do the math yourself. You say, what does that mean? That means according to that, he's not coming today. But you think he is, some of you. And you know what the dangerous thing about that? I'm going to say this. The rapture can take place at any time. But you know what's so dangerous about your idea that the Lord's coming back today? You don't even care. Oh, preacher, I believe the Lord come back today. You don't believe no such thing. If you did, you'd be on your knees hollering and screaming and crying. Folk, Baptist folk, you need to be careful. You got so at ease in Zion that you are actually saying, hey, the Lord could come back today. And it ain't changed your life, changed your heart one bit. Amen? That's dangerous, folks. That's scary dangerous. You know, Brother Jesse, when I look around and see all the fingers that I've pointed at people and all the fingers I hadn't pointed at myself, boy, it makes me tremble laying in my bed at night. You say, why? Because I'm such a wretch, man. I'm such a wretched sinner. I'm a devil. Amen? Yeah. That's the very definition of grace. God is not a devil. Amen. But yet he takes time out to deal with me. They went and got a bigger clock for the vision impaired. Even Brother Jesse could see that one. Amen. That's good. Well, technically, I can't still see. I think it's 9:45. I better move on. Matthew chapter 25, what happens is God starts judging people. And so before that, set up, you look in Matthew chapter 24. And I want you to look down. Let's see. Let's find this real quick here. Verse number 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. That's going to happen, folks. Amen? That's going to come to pass one of these days. And when that stuff starts to happen, the Lord's coming. He said, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. Now let me read that like a lot of modern day preachers are reading that, and let's see the difference. Verse number 31. And he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall rapture together the elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. Is that what it said? It didn't say rapture. And then you got nuts on the internet, and I'll say it one more time. I've said it the last two times I've been here. Do not get your Bible doctrine off of the internet. Amen. Amen. You get Bible knowledge in Sunday school, in Sunday morning service, in Sunday night service, in Wednesday night service, and whenever else the church gets together. Amen. You got all these Bible scholars that hate church, but all of a sudden they know everything about the Bible. Well, look, he didn't say rapture. He said they'll be gathered. And if you read this comparison chapter in Luke, when he gets done telling this story, he says, two will be in a field, they'll get one. And two will be in the mill, he'll get one. And he said, in other words, it's the same story here. They're being gathered together. And when he gets done telling the story, somebody does the wise thing and asks the question. He said, this one's taken, this one's taken, this one's taken. And somebody comes up with a good question. Where? Which means, where are you taking them? And he says, well, where the eagles are gathered together, just like he said in the verse before we started reading that, where the eagles are gathered together, there will the body be. Turn to Revelation 19. You find a bunch of eagles and birds and buzzards eating dead bodies. It's right after the return of the Lord, the Advent. So he says these angels are going to be sent, and they're going to gather people together. Now, you know what we are here? You say we're gathered, and we are gathered in this building, aren't we? We're gathered together. Now, one of you lived out in Hartley, and one of you lived out in Dover, and one of you lived over there in Browntown. That's in Georgia. I hope you didn't come from Browntown. I feel sorry for you if you did. But at any rate, you got people spread out all over this place, Kent County, all around here, people just spread out. And you know what you did this morning? You gathered right here. Now you got inside this building, and we're all spread out, ain't we? Ain't that right? Now if I said, Brother Joe and Brother Ron and Brother Squeaky and Brother Sullenberg, hey, just come up here and meet me right here. You say, what is that? That's a gathering. You're all spread out over the building. We gather together. Now, what's taking place in this chapter has nothing to do with the rapture. The Lord comes back after the tribulation, sets up his kingdom, and gathers everybody for judgment. That's exactly what's going to take place in that chapter. Amen? And when he gathers them all together, guess what he's going to do? He's going to sit, just like it says in the book of Daniel, and he's going to start judging people. He said, you didn't feed me. You didn't clothe me. The Bible calls that the judgment of the nations. He's going to find some ready. He's going to find some unready. He's going to find some willing. He's going to find some unwilling. And he's going to sit and he's going to judge. And that judgment's going to take place. As sure as the judgment seat of Christ is going to judge you and me, the Lord of glory is going to sit on his throne and judge every unsaved person there is on the planet. He's going to judge them by nation when he first comes, and he's going to judge them by individuals when he gets done with that 1,000-year reign. And boy, I tell you what, there's a lot to be thoughtful about. There's a lot to think about. There's a lot more to think about than the walking dead. Amen. Oh, Brother Mike said we can't. Well, I don't think you probably should watch The Walking Dead, but what I'm telling you is you're so caught up in the mess of this world, you can't even think about what's going on in your Bible, and it's going to happen. It's real. And listen, we went over this last week in our Sunday school class, and we looked at some things in the book of Revelation that's going to come right before this judgment takes place, and it's about 100,000 million times worse than what goes on in The Walking Dead and the foolishness of this world. My brother, there are going to be some things coming on this earth that the Bible said men's hearts are going to fail them for fear. It's going to be so bad, people can't even stand to look at it. That stuff you see on television, you love to look at it. Oh, look at that. That's makeup on that zombie right there. And stuff ain't even scary no more. When I was a boy, they put movies on television, and I remember seeing this one, and I'm going to quit. I need to quit right now, but I seen stuff on television when I was a boy, and I seen this silent movie one time. And here's what took place. This fiendish man, and the organ music's playing, and this man took this woman, and he hugged her up real close, and he turned her over out of the view of the camera, and you saw the shadow of a knife. And the music, oh. Jesse could help me out right there, but we don't have to. And you see the shadow of the knife come down and everything goes silent as he stabs that woman out of the view. And that sent a blood-curdling scared me to death. That was just. But now they show everything and all the blood and all the guts, and people sat there eating their popcorn. Oh, their spaghetti. This spaghetti sure is good. All the violence and terrible stuff you see on television now, it don't bother you a bit. But if you was to miss that rapture, and if you was to be here through that tribulation, I mean, forget about being scared about the Lord going to come and judge it, which we already know most people ain't worried about that. But the Bible says some stuff's going to crawl up out of hell that'll give you a heart attack just looking at it. Amen. And there's a judgment coming, folks. I don't have any more time to go over that, but I hope you've got something across to you. What has always been true is still true. The Lord is still coming. The Lord is still going to judge not only his people, but those who are not his people. Amen? And it's going to happen. It's going to take place. And I hope to goodness, not only you're ready for the rapture, but I hope you're out there getting folks ready to miss those judgments we've been talking about. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the opportunity, oh God. And I pray, dear God, that you'd help us, God, to live inside that grace you've given us. Help us, oh God, not to be careful, Lord, about the things of this world, but to, Lord, to get our ducks in a row here as far as the Word of God is concerned. And we'll thank you and praise you for everything you do for us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.